I recently finished reading a book by Nick Nurse. He's the coach of the Toronto Raptors, your Toronto Raptors, We the North. And he guided the team to its first professional basketball championship in 2019. In the book, which I recommend for those who love to learn about sports or about leadership, or both, he says, I have people who ask now how to get into the coaching business. And a lot of time I think they mean, how can I enter as high up in the field as I can? But I tell anyone who wants to rise up in this business to coach anywhere that you can. The book chronicles his willingness to develop as a coach by taking any and every opportunity that he could, even if it was hard, even if it wasn't popular, or it required more effort or inconvenience. This quote underscores the desire of many who want success, who want prestige and the perks of responsibility, without appreciating the value of hard work, of sacrifice, and of learning. They want to host a championship trophy to be connected to greatness, but they don't necessarily want to put in the effort. Throughout this series, changing lives change lives, and in anticipation for the opportunity to restart our in-person gatherings on the weekend of November 28th and 29th, we have been relearning what it means to function as a church family. We started with obedience to the Lord's command to be baptized and the significance of taking communion. Both of these actions or sacraments are part of the means by which we declare our personal commitment to follow Jesus. We then looked at the significance of communicating with God, or prayer, learning to listen to and for His voice, and then being able to respond accordingly. And last week, Patrick Turvey, our ministry intern, did a great job of taking us through the topic of stewardship, a necessary reminder about the way we view and handle our time, our resources, and our relationships for the glory of God and as a church family. Each week, we have also provided some additional teaching. Some of those have been in response to questions that arise or additional insight that we have been learning. Today, as we conclude this series, we're going to be looking at the aspect of serving as it relates to the function of a church family. I know. Serving. If you've been around the church enough, a church environment enough, you've probably heard this term used, and perhaps you've heard it overused and used so much that we kind of tune out the significance of it. We may understand in principle that God has put us together to function through acts of service, as he outlines in Ephesians 4, where the Apostle Paul writes, so Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Now, we may understand those words in principle, in theory, but do we actually allow them to sink deeply to understand that one of the primary motivating factors in keeping our focus on serving as followers of Jesus is that Jesus is the one who asks us and empowers us to do so? The church, that is, those who follow Jesus, is built, added to, and made stronger by a willingness of those who serve. Over these last 8 months, I have mentioned repeatedly that one of the facts that I believe that the SEMC family was well positioned for a prolonged time was because we have, in a sense, been preparing for this. We've been engaging of practices that we've now come to rely upon. We have demonstrated this through our efforts again in service, through our community garden, through Adventure Bible Camp, and most recently through our virtual trip to El Salvador. We have been learning to serve, pray, respond in the grace of God. We call that spring. It's always spring at the SEMC. This acronym uses three small words with an intentional dependence on the work of God's grace in our lives. And it's foundational. The Lord has been sustaining us, using us, and positioning us throughout these months for greater kingdom efforts in the time to come. Serving is in our DNA. It is the fabric of everything we do. In fact, just about every single week, we provide opportunities for you to serve. Sometimes they're part of our ministry here at our church building, more often as a means of meeting needs in our community. And the reason why we do this is so that you can discover more about the love that God has for you and the transforming difference that is made in your life when you engage in serving. But serving is not simply an action. Serving is a mindset. It's an attitude, a posture that reveals a lot about how we view and value others. Serving is not easy, and it goes against our natural human inclination. That's what the disciples found out as they spent time with Jesus. Now let's go listen in on one of their conversations with him. If you have your Bible or your Bible app, would you join me in Mark chapter 10, verses 35 to 45. Maybe take a moment, pause the video if necessary, and then restart when you're ready so that you can see those words with your own eyes and perhaps making notes or underlining key words or phrases that may stand out to you. So now that you're ready, let's enter into this story together. It says, "Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him. 'Teacher,' they said, 'we want you to do for us whatever we ask.' 'What do you want me to do for you?' he asked. They replied, 'Let one of us sit at your right hand and the other at your left in glory.' 'You don't know what you're asking,' Jesus said. 'Can you drink the cup I drink or be baptized with the baptism I'm baptized with?' 'We can,' they answered. And Jesus said to them, 'You will drink the cup I drink and be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with. But to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared.' And when the 10 heard this, they became indignant with James and John. And Jesus called them together and said, 'You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them, but not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to be great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many.'" You know, most of us have a desire to be significant, to be noticed, to be great. At the very least, most of us like to have a sense of control, and in particular, a control over others as it relates to benefiting from them for their efforts. Jesus doesn't deny the ambition or significance or greatness for greatness in our lives, but he does challenge the accepted norms by which that is achieved. And he says it starts with serving and a resistance to the easy way. When we serve, we resist the easy way. One of the reasons we aspire to greatness is for the perceived pleasure, enjoyment, or ease that we think great people have. We think if we were in charge, we wouldn't have to work as hard. Jesus says, actually, it's quite the opposite. A willingness to endure difficulty, even suffering, for the benefit of others, that's what serving is about. You know, we have previously discussed baptism and its significance of being purposed for God's glory, so we won't go into that today. However, prior to this, Jesus does introduce the symbol of the cup. We associate well the idea of shiny trophies with greatness, don't we? Gold medals or white glove guys who handle the Stanley Cup, those are symbols of greatness. That Jesus chooses also to use a cup as a symbol is intriguing. You see, a cup transcends all social spheres. The rich and the poor would have cups. They would just be different, but they use them for exactly the same thing. It doesn't describe how fancy or ornate the cup might be, rather simply stated it's a cup. So this symbol applies to everyone, just as the invitation to baptism applies to everyone. In fact, throughout Scripture, the cup is used to symbolize noble and attractive virtues like joy and salvation and blessing. For instance, in a psalm, Psalm 23, that many of you are familiar with, it says, "My cup overflows, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all of my days." And so perhaps when Jesus first refers to the cup in response to the question of James and John, they might have been thinking, yes, yes, of course, we can drink the cup that you're going to drink from, the cup of blessing. Yes, we'll drink for that too. And they probably completely missed the fact that there is also another cup that God speaks to throughout the Bible. It's the cup of judgment, of bitterness, of suffering and punishment. It's a cup that symbolizes the punishing, righteous justice of God upon those who reject him, the faithless and the callously disobedient. This cup of judgment or wrath is the cup that Jesus would in anguish ask the Father to remove, but was willing to accept in order to provide salvation for all the people of the world. There is a description of that encounter in each of the first four books of the New Testament. In his humanity, Jesus wanted to resist the cup. However, he accepted the cup of suffering for the sake of others, for the sake of all humanity, something I think we can tend to forget. And he confers that same example to those who would follow after him. Notice secondly, when we serve, we reflect the example of Jesus. You know, you can look back just one chapter, Mark chapter 9, verses 33 to 35. This idea of easy greatness is really occupying the thoughts of the disciples. So it's interesting that Jesus doesn't correct them or rebuke them or get upset with them, even though it's the second time that they have had this conversation. Rather, Jesus kind of calls them together like a team huddle, and he looks around at them and he affirms what is true, and he allows them to give thought to what is possible in the future. "Whoever wants to be great among you must be your servant," he says, "and whoever wants to be first must be slave of all." Again, Jesus does not quench their desire for greatness, neither does he promise them a future that even he does not control. More than that, Jesus asks them to do, he doesn't ask them to do anything that he isn't willing to do. He says, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Well, I'm not sure about you, but when I try to map out a path to greatness or achievement for life, I don't typically consider taking on the role of a servant. Most of us actually try to avoid those kind of difficult roads, but Jesus says, not so for you. If you want to claim to follow me, we serve, and it might be hard. You know, one of the ways that the COVID-19 situation has negatively affected our Canadian culture is by taking away the capacity to give effort. I've talked to many employers and tradespeople about the shortages that they face because of the monetary incentives to not work that have been given to so many people. It's an impact that we may be struggling to rectify for many years to come, and I hope I'm wrong. But more than that, it's also having a terrible effect on vital nonprofit organizations and also churches. Most of those organizations are seeing a growing number of people reluctant to safely help others, even while economic poverty, nutritional and mental health issues, addiction issues, among many other societal challenges, continue to spiral out of control. Now, don't get me wrong on this. The example of Jesus isn't to be reckless or careless. It is very purposeful and loving. In fact, the Apostle Paul would capture it best in the poetic hymn he wrote to the Philippians, where he says, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, Value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking on the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. The call to be a servant begins with a mindset, an attitude, or a posture that reveals a lot about how we view and value other people. Servanthood positions us to resist the easy way and to reflect the example of Jesus. But notice also, thirdly, when we serve, we rely upon the power of God. Listen to the rest of this passage in Philippians chapter 2. Therefore, God exalted him, Jesus, to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The servant example of Jesus is one that involves suffering, difficulty, and even death. However, in his willingness to submit himself to the purposes of the Father, he was exalted by God, lifted up, miraculously empowered to persevere to the cross, through the cross, and triumph over the cross for the sake of those whom he loves. Those who were impacted by the life of Jesus, even those who criticized his life, were left to think about, to acknowledge the power and the glory of God displayed in his life, whether they agreed with it or not. And we, according to Paul and according to Jesus, are to have that same kind of mindset, that same kind of attitude, that same kind of motivation, that posture, that same desire. And so now think about this. As a participant in a church family, through your declaration of faith in Jesus Christ, you have a God-given gift, an ability, a capacity that you can use to demonstrate the love of Jesus to others. Maybe it's just something like note writing, maybe it's card making, maybe it's baking, maybe it's simply engaging conversation, maybe it's praying for the needs of others and praying for men and women and boys and girls to enter into a relationship with Jesus. Maybe it's knitting, maybe it's sewing, maybe it's painting, maybe it's the ability to just be of help, to do some simple errands, to pick up groceries, paint a room, hang up some lights, shovel snow. You have something that God, by his grace, can enable you, empower you, lift you up in the name of Jesus to do for others. The task may not be easy, and it may not be the same way or at the same capacity as you have previously enjoyed. And the people that you might be called to serve may not be the most pleasant or appreciative about your act of service. But you serve with a desire to honor God, and it will be empowered by him and used for his glory in his time. Our commitment to you as a church family is to equip you to serve for those, in those acts of service. And that might be here on a Sunday, but as we look to restart, there are definitely lots of opportunities. However, for all of us, it should also include wherever we find ourselves, all those other days of the weeks. And that's one of the reasons why I think we've been able to navigate through these last 8 months together, being built up and being strengthened as we each serve, doing our part in our workplaces, in our extended families, in our community organizations, in our neighborhoods. We're being intentional in helping people understand the significance of serve, pray, respond. It moves us beyond a Sunday gathering time. It moves us beyond the walls of our physical location as followers of Jesus, who gives us the example of selflessness and sacrificial servanthood. And if you would like to be part of a church family that understands your current situation and wants to help you make a kingdom difference in your everyday life, starting right where you are, then we would love to talk to you about entering into a formal membership as part of the SEMC. Now, let me say this as a word of caution or perhaps warning. Over the years, I've certainly seen a pattern where people will stop serving. And then it isn't too long before they start to feel disconnected from a church family, whether that's the SEMC or anywhere else. And then church just doesn't feel the same anymore. Well, there's a reason for that. When we serve together, we communicate even without words that we're all pulling in the same direction. And the Lord uses each act of service to strengthen and encourage the rest. Changing lives change lives. Conversely, when we pull back, when we stop, we weaken the overall capacity of a church family to pursue God's mission. And it takes time to heal and to recover and to restore. So let me encourage you to allow us to help you to resist the easy way. In fact, to reflect the example of Jesus and to learn to rely upon the powerful enabling capacity of God to help you serve, whether that be here at our location or wherever you find yourself. And so before we go, let me ask you to do one or more of these four things. Number one, read through some of the passages that we've mentioned today. I'm going to keep them in the description below of the video that you're currently watching. Listen for God's perspective on it. Examine the life of Jesus, reflect on that, and as he calls you to follow him, are you going to follow his example? Number two, ask God to show you how you can pursue Jesus' greatness as you serve his purposes for his glory by his grace, knowing that if God can continue changing your life, then the lives of others will also be changed. Number three, share that with us. Let us pray into this with you. Let us help equip you by God's grace to be built up and strengthened as you do your part. And number four, perhaps it's taking a step of membership, formally acknowledging your desire to join together with other men and women and boys and girls as the SEM family who seek to partner with God and serve our community. It's a lot to consider. But I trust that God has encouraged you through this series, and I look forward to hearing from you. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the privilege that you give us to meet together in this way. And you've challenged us, God, with this idea of serving, not just a theory or a philosophy, but the very means by which Jesus, our Lord and Savior, went about his life. And for some of us, Father, this is a reminder that it's a point of confession. We sometimes appear entitled. We complain, and we don't seek the benefit of others. We don't really value others the way that you do. And so, God, would you correct that in us? Would you help us to see those opportunities that exist to be able to serve in the name of Jesus right around us, starting in our home? And in our neighborhoods, and then perhaps together as a church family. Lord, would you continue to help us to deepen our understanding of what it means to follow Jesus? God, we want your sustaining power. We really do. But sometimes we're afraid of the hard road. And so we need your help. And so I pray, Father, that you would continue to teach us and help us as we grow together as a church family. Build us up, strengthen us in the name of Jesus. And all God's people say, amen. Amen. Thanks so much. I heard that. Thanks so much for joining us. I pray that God's peace would rest on you this day. Thanks again for taking the time to spend with us today. I trust that God has challenged you and encouraged you and maybe prodded you with another act of obedience to help you in your development as a follower of Jesus. But for now, let me send you off with this blessing on you and your home. From 1 Peter, it says, "Be alert and sober-minded. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of suffering. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. And all God's servant-minded people said, Amen.